Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
It is wonderful to be back in my church family. And I thank you for all your many welcomes back to the house of God and to be with you once more. God is good. He's great and he's marvelous. And so I've come back to a church that has changed aesthetically and it's wonderful. But what hasn't changed in the past weeks that we've been worshipping here together is that your faithfulness has not changed, and I thank God for that. I thank God that I can come back to a church family that is steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the grace of God. God bless you today. And for those of you who've never heard me preach before, I might get a little bit emotional or a little bit, you know, excited, because I love serving God. I'm excited about God's goodness and his greatness and his power in our lives. So if I get a little bit excited or if I get a little bit emotional, please excuse me. But I just love serving the Lord. And our sermon today is the theme of the day, actually, is safety in the storm. Not safety from the storm, but safety in the storm. So hold that thought in your mind. And our scripture, our main scripture, is Joel 3:16. And as it was read to you, I will read it again. The Lord will roar from Zion and thundered from Jerusalem. I'm reading from the NIV. The earth and the sky will tremble, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. So just before I go into that, I'd like to just draw attention again to Psalm 91 and verse 1 to 2. He that dwells in the secret, in the shelter of the Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. So, safety in the storm. Let's look at some background to the writer, Joel, the prophet. Joel was a prophet of ancient Israel. He's mentioned by name only in the Hebrew Bible, in the introduction to that book, as the son of Petuel. I think Petuel was a farmer. The name Joel combines the covenant name of God, Yahweh, and El, which means God, and has been translated as one to whom Yahweh is God. That is, a worshiper of Yahweh or God. The prophet Joel's name means the Lord is God. And of course, as we all know, he's one of the 12 prophets known as the minor prophets, because they wrote shorter books. Otherwise, very little is known about him. And during the time that Joel wrote his book, it has been agreed by Bible scholars that the book of Joel was written during the reign of Joash, again one of the 12 kings of Israel, around the 9th century BC, making him one of the earliest writers of the time. So now to the book of Joel. It is a book about the importance of repentance. And he has predicted in his book that the Lord will come on a tumultuous day, followed by a time of restoration. So the Lord will come to judge, but after that judgment will come a time when he will restore his people Israel. So in chapter 3, we see that it covers the coming judgment, as I talked about, but it were specifically related to the kingdom of Judah's enemies, who were the Philistines, the kingdom of Edom, and the kingdom of Egypt. Joel 1 to 3, of course, was the call to repentance. And so we're going to concentrate on verse 16, which tells us how the Lord is going to come and judge. So it said, the Lord will roar from Zion, thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the sky will tremble, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people and a stronghold for Israel. So here we have Israel being persecuted, you know, and being treated badly by their neighbors round about them. And so, as we know, when Israel face problems, they cry out to God. And so we can assume that in this situation, they've cried out because they could not themselves fight against all these kingdoms. And God heard from them. And he revealed to Joel that he is going to roar. He's going to thunder. And he's going to judge. But whilst he does that, he will also be a refuge. And remember that God didn't say he was going to take us out of the storm. He does sometimes. But here, it is in the storm. Jerusalem, Israel, they found themselves in a storm. And it is in the storm that God is going to fight for them. So, in Zion, which can be found, it's a physical place, it can be found in the city of David in Jerusalem. But for Christians, Zion represents the heavenly city or the kingdom of God. So here we have two reference to Zion. And as I said, all of chapter 3 tells us about the time when God shall judge the nations that surround Israel. And in Joel chapter 3, we can see the precursors in verses 14 to 15, which reads, Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon will be darkened, and the stars no longer shine. And this was before he roars into Zion. So it will be a time when that judgment takes place, that God will change the scene once more. He will change how things were and to bring to people's attention that this is a time of judgment. In verse 16, the language is both futuristic and current for that time, because Israel found themselves surrounded. But this verse, not only will God fight for his people, but he also will protect them. The song says, he hideth my soul in the clefts of the rock and covers me there with his hand. This is what God is going to do for his people. And we can see this also in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, 1 to 7. Verse 1, God assures his people. He says, "Do not be afraid. I will save you. I have called you by name. Your troubles will not overtake you. When you pass through the fire, you will not be burned. The hard trials that will come will not hurt you." That's verse 2. Verse 3, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, who saves you." So God promises that we are going to be in storms. And we are actually experiencing a storm today. A storm that is affecting the whole world. So what should we do? As one of the prayers this morning, Brother Frank prayed, let us pray that this storm we are facing, that God himself will intervene and remove it from the face of the earth. Remember in Genesis how God's spirit moved upon the waters? That's what we've got to pray for, that the spirit of God will move upon the waters once more and take us out of this storm that we're experiencing now. And remember, your faith in God will do it for you. We do not know when. We do not know how. But our belief must be that God will take us and will cover us in this storm. Let us continue to trust in him. So Israel believed that God will come to their rescue in the storm. In the storm, not out of the storm, but in the storm. And Amos 1, verse 2, picked up on it and repeated the first part. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. But the pastures of the shepherd may dry up and the top of Carmel may wither, but the Lord will deliver. It doesn't matter what happens, let us hold on to faith, believe in God, that he will deliver us from and in the storm. He's going to deliver us. Amos 9, verses 14 and 15 talked about the restoration. And it says, "I will bring back my exiled people Israel. They will rebuild the ruined city and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land I have given to them, says the Lord your God." The same promise is to us today. We don't know what the new normal, as it is called, is going to look like. But God knows. And he will give us whatever it is that we need for that time. So, what is a storm? A storm is a violent phenomenon in which there is heavy rain and wind due to moisture in the air. Hurricanes, typhoons, and tornadoes are often called storms too, but they have special names because they are very, very strong. A storm is any disturbance that affects the atmosphere, especially the surface of the atmosphere, and it brings strong wind. Storms have the potential to harm lives and property via storm surge, heavy rain, or snow, causing flooding or rain, bringing impassability to roads, creating lightnings, wildfires, and vertical wind shear. Now, when we think about storms, I mean, a lot of us who come from the Caribbean know something about hurricanes, even if we haven't been in them. We know how dangerous they can be. And today, we are facing a spiritual storm. But in life, we face physical, emotional, and mental storms. And these we call storms of life. But what about spiritual storms? A spiritual storm has some of the same characteristics as a physical storm. The most highly visible difference is that soon the physical storm has passed. In a spiritual storm, such as we find ourselves in today, will last much longer. However, God has a time when that storm will be over. And this has to be our prayer. During the time of a spiritual storm, what is required of us? We must praise, pray, and persevere. This is the only way we'll be able to weather the storm, because when we praise, pray, and persevere, we'll open up our minds to the spirituality of God's work. Whenever we experience these storms, God is doing a great work in us, and He's taking us to another level in Him. So let us not be surprised if during this time there's a great revival, because God is working in us and for us in the middle of the storm. So pray, praise, and worship, and persevere. In Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, remember, disciples found themselves in a storm. And they came to Jesus and woke him up from his sleep. Jesus came and he calmed the storm. He got up, first of all, he rebuked the storm and told the waves and the wind, "Quiet, be still." And then he turned to his disciple. "Where is your faith? What's happened to you?" Keep the faith in God. We do not have to be afraid in the storm, because he's there for us. He's always there for us. And he will allow storms to take place to test our faith in him, to test our faithfulness in him. And there are reasons for that. There are a few here that I will give to you. Sometimes we find ourselves in a storm because we are not listening to God. And he wants to get our attention. So by allowing us to be in a storm, he does that. But he does it out of love for us. And he will protect us even though he allows it to happen. This is our God. He will protect us whilst in the midst of that storm from which trials will come. He puts us in a storm to bring us to repentance. In the case of Jonah, remember Jonah? He ran away because he didn't want to do what God told him to do. But you see, you can't run away from God. He's everywhere. He sees everything. He knows everything. And so a storm was created for Jonah to fulfill his purpose. Number three, God puts us in a storm to help us to conform to Christ's image. God is willing to break us and cause suffering in order to glorify himself by making us like his son. And we can read Romans 8, 29 and 30, how we can become sons of God. He puts us in a storm to equip us for service. Having suffered through painful storms, we come out better equipped to help others in our families, in our communities, in our workplace. He puts us in storms to demonstrate his power in our lives. He uses situation to make us more useful than we were before. He puts us in a storm to reveal himself to us. Turbulent times will come, but it can give us a new perspective on the Lord and his works. Sometimes he comes after the storm, and when we look back, we can see and appreciate how he has brought us through that storm, protecting us, guiding us, bearing us up in his hands. Paul writes, his strength is made perfect in weakness. And we can find it in 2 Corinthians 12, 8 to 12. And God puts us in storm to demonstrate his love. Once we understand God's thoughts and his ways are so much higher than ours, but we could try and understand and pray for wisdom, because it will help us to realize that any storm he brings is motivated by his love. And lastly, he brings us in a storm to remind us who is in control. Because his knowledge is complete. God never makes mistakes. Nothing happens in our lives without his permission or his permissive will. His good purpose, mighty power, and unfailing love always govern the storms that come our way. And God give us his peace that he leaves with us. And David in Psalm 34, 4 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. And in Psalm 94, 19, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. So like Israel, during the time of Job, when all their enemies were against them, like we are today, where we find ourselves in a storm. For some, it brings pain and suffering or loss. In these turbulent times, sometimes we're tempted to ask, where is God? Why has this happened? Was it something I did? Did God cause it? If so, why? The only safe place to go for answers in these times is in the Word of God. To swat up, as it were, on his promises for protection and how he fulfilled them in the past, and how he will fulfill them today, because God's promises are sure and they're true. He's in the storm with us, shielding us and protecting us always. Never forget that. He's with us whatever happens. So my encouragement to you today is hold on tight to God. Never let his hand go. Stay true to him when faced with life's greatest challenges, because he will hide us in that cleft of the rock. He will protect us in his pavilion, in his presence. He's here for us. Remember, God is our rock. He's our strength and our shield. He will never let us down. And no storm, no matter how violent and turbulent, is greater than our God. And so, in closing, I'd like to read to you from Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3. And this is what it says. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with the surge thereof. God is in the storm with us.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.